Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
We also have not gotten financials in quite some time, so the financial system is not being kept up where we can keep an eye on it like we used to be able to. So I'm sorry that I'm putting you on the spot, Yvette, but how long is it? It's been going on for some time, yes?
The last report that I was able to do was September 30th, but there, not everything's been posted in the new system.
So Councilman Jen Brayer is complaining that the ability to track what's going on inside the budget and how money's being spent and where money gets shuffled around from one project to another, because it can get assigned by the city to certain silos and then they know the mayor can change it. And she says, we haven't been able to do this since September because apparently we voted for something that allowed this to happen in a way that we can't even track it now. And so she's raising a stink about wanting to be able to, you know, track it and make, you know, make sure things are being done the proper way. By the way, can I just say, I really appreciate the Pensacola City Council, including Charles Baer, for all of the things that he said last week, because they really gave me a lot of material this week. Lots of stuff to talk about. And, you know, I think they've been lagging. It's been pretty boring government in Pensacola recently. But for a few things that the public has been doing, you know, drag shows and flock cameras and whatnot. But generally speaking, the council meetings themselves have been kind of boring. And so I appreciate y'all stepping up and adding some drama. Milton, meanwhile, has just completely fallen off the chart. Like, it's so boring. Even the T-28 and the TH-57 and the 73 stuff. I'm a 57. All that stuff is yet to come to a head as far as I know. I haven't listened to last night's meeting yet, but trust me, if it is again, I will bring it to your attention because they have just become boring. Good government or something. Anyway, Jen Brayer says there's a bathroom that we're now getting ready to spend about $1 million on that we previously threw a fit about having to spend $1 million on and put that on hold.
We are, I don't know if you guys know this, but we're purchasing a pre-made bathroom for Roger Scott. Well, that kind of came to us as a surprise to me because the last I knew, the Roger Scott bathroom became before us. We said that it was too expensive at $1 million. We sent it back, and then
remember all the hand wringing over that. I can't bring myself to vote for this per square foot cost, you know, of the bathroom.
This is the problem. This is the hard to stomach.
By the way, I think this is at the pool and not at the tennis, if I'm correct about that. Anyway.
This is the problem. This is the hard to stomach thing. When we voted on the 2025 park projects, we gave the ability for everything in there to move how they see fit with none of it coming back to us and moving everything around on line items how they see fit. And I honestly had no idea that we had done such a bold move.
And so that's what she's complaining about is essentially it's on us. We made it so they don't have to come back and ask us when they shift things around within the parks budget. But for example, we are now getting ready to do for a high price a thing that we didn't want to do before for a high price.
It looks like, at least finance thinks, we're going to end up paying the same $1 million for this bathroom, but now it's going to be a prefab bathroom. It's because it's like $600,000 for the bathroom. Then we have to pay for the laying of the stuff and the sewage. It's really going to end up being, but it won't even be ready until hopefully mid-July. And so the pool is not going to open.
Yeah, so that's an interesting problem. We'll talk about that with the mayor coming up in 20 minutes.
So we were not able to track this financially. We were not able to look and see where the money goes. We had over $1 million for that pot for there. We don't know if it's there. I don't know if your playground money's still there.
$1 million for pot? Oh, $1 million in that pot of money. If you don't pay attention, you can get the wrong impression.
Because we can't see any of this any longer. We don't see any current moves, and that's not so. And we did it accidentally. I'm just going to tell you, in that big, looking over that, all those projects, we signed off kind of carelessly, and I don't think we realized what we were doing, which, to your point, would have probably been picked up on if we had our own legal. Right? So it is a very serious issue because we are having a hard time really narrowing it down.
So this hits on both the issue of transparency in budgeting and spending, but also the question of whether having their own council attorney, in addition to having the city attorney, Adam Cobb, because, you know, the mayor and the council are not ideally adversarial, but they can be. You have executive and, you know, legislative. In the county commission, you only need one lawyer for everybody because Wes works for the county commission. But if you had an independent, for example, you know, superintendent that was elected as opposed to appointed, maybe they should have their own attorney as opposed to the, you know, Ellen Odom. Or maybe at the county, Allison Rogers should be for the commission, and Wes, if he were elected, should have his own. So you kind of, I see where they're getting at. You know, there shouldn't just be one city attorney. Of course, that's a cost. But if they're doing things that even they don't understand the implications of, or they'd like to get a different opinion from the city attorney, Adam Cobb, you know, well, look, if we're going to have separation of powers and possibly checks and balances, that brings on the possibility of adversariality, right? 7:15 on News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you are on Avalon Boulevard going southbound toward I-10, expect about a 12-minute delay in that area. And still dealing with the I-10 eastbound of Davis Highway exit, says has just been closed due to repaving, sheriff deputy blocking the exit right there. So just be aware of that. And also an accident just happened at Pace near the railroad tracks by Intendencia. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
What's your name again? Oh, and I took a little bit longer on that than I wanted to, but I do want to, can I take a moment and just be excited for a second? Because, you know, I'm a philosopher at heart, right? That's my training is as a philosopher, of a master's degree in philosophy, not a PhD. I taught philosophy for 10 years, taught ethics and logic. That's my background. I've also been a bartender and a waiter, if you care, and a lot of other things, but this main stuff. It's not very often when you get a full-blown real-life example of a logical fallacy perfectly presented in a city council public forum comment. Hats off. Hear us all, Alfonso, one of the socialists who shows up, talking about the flock cameras. You ready? This is a full-fledged, perfectly formed logical fallacy. You can play along at home. Here we go.
And they are warrantless searches. The searches that police officers put into these databases, there's no oversight for them. Nobody is looking over their shoulder, seeing what they are searching up, and it's warrantless. So what that means is it goes against our Fourth Amendment right. When you are a 14th Amendment right.
So the Fourth and 14th Amendment, you know, well, particularly earlier with the Fourth, has to do with warrantless searches, right? And so what he's saying is that when you have the flock camera system collecting all of this data on license plates, and then you query that database looking for a criminal, you have not secured a warrant for the query. You haven't gone to a judge and said, give me the permission to look for this license plate. You're a cop with access. You just do it. That is, by definition, a warrantless search, right? And the Constitution, John, prohibits warrantless searches.
I agree.
Therefore, the flock camera system is unconstitutional. Let me go slow. Warrantless searches are unconstitutional. Police using flock databases are doing warrantless searches. Therefore, police using the flock database are doing something unconstitutional.
Interesting.
It's a perfect logical fallacy. Does anybody know the name? It's called a four-term fallacy. See, what you don't know, maybe, or you don't remember, is in logic class, if you ever had one, they taught you that there are syllogisms. You know, all cats are mammals, all mammals give live birth, therefore all cats deliver live birth. That's a syllogism. Three terms in a syllogism: cat, mammal, live birth. In this case, it seems like three terms: flock database queries, unconstitutionality, and warrantless search. The problem is that a warrantless search means two different things, and therefore it's actually four terms. Let me explain. Using Google is a warrantless search, right? You didn't get a warrant to search Google. Does that mean that if the police use Google, it's unconstitutional? Or if you use Google, it's unconstitutional? And the answer is no, because a warrantless search that the Constitution talks about is searching your private property without your permission when there's not an exigent circumstance like a crime being committed or without probable cause on the scene, right? A warrantless search is a very specific thing. So here's how Alfonso is actually committing, and this just made my heart leap with joy, a genuine logical fallacy, the four-term fallacy. It sounds persuasive. And John, you even are like, oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, that really is.
Because it sounds like when you've said warrantless search, you're saying similar things. But your goings and comings in the public are not your private property. Therefore, warrants do not apply to them. That's why eyes on can see the cars going. So when the Constitution prohibits a warrantless search, it's talking about your private property. It's not talking about your license plate out in the open on a road. But if you use the words that are the same, even though you mean two different things, you literally commit a, I love this, I'm so excited. I never get to talk about a four-term fallacy. I'd never even seen one in the wild.
In the wild? Oh, my gosh.
We talk about them in philosophy, but nobody's ever dumb enough to do them. But it's amazing. So,
and
this is not like an ad hominem or a slippery slope or a red herring, you know, which those are common enough, informal fallacies. You know, and there aren't that many formal fallacies, affirming the consequent, denying the antecedent, undistributed middle. I know you don't remember these terms. That's my job to teach them. But the point is, it was so exciting for me. Let me give you a different example. Warrantless searches are unconstitutional. Looking for your lost socks is a warrantless search. Therefore, looking for your lost socks is unconstitutional. Good or bad reasoning? It's terrible reasoning because...
it's two different...
All right. Yeah. I know somebody's like, I cannot believe I chose to listen to this today.
That's on you, bro.
It's entirely on me. Other comments that came up in the context.
The administration won't tell me where the flock cameras are. They say that's a secret. We don't want the bad guys to know that. But you can just go out there and look for them. I mean, there's two at the Lowe's parking lot. I don't even know who those belong to, whether they're Lowe's or whether they're ours. I don't know. But you can make a list. I know people have been putting it together. I'd love to see that. I think it should be posted. I see no problem with that. I don't think we should be hiding things from citizens.
That's Charles Baer. We talked about that before. Should we also post a list of all the undercover operations, all the surveillance? Should we post photos of all the UCs and all that? But Lucas Pallone, a citizen, at the end of the meeting, brought up the same concern, and I wanted to point out that it wasn't only him raising it.
The persistent question I've had since I learned about these cameras is, who watches the watchers, right? The answer should be, we the people. That's why if this tool continues to be used, it requires transparency, not just a one-way mirror or peeks behind the curtain every now and then. We should know when it's used, specifics on how it's used, when our plates are run through, or we don't need to have it at all. Quite frankly, I think that second option's a little bit easier, but you know, I've offered solutions. I don't want to be negative the whole time I'm up here, but solutions won't work unless someone's willing to put them into practice.
Yeah, and this has been sort of the repeated concern about the flock cameras is that, you know, who's watching the watchers if they're doing all of this surveillance? Well, you know, again, are you going to post the UCs, post all the surveillance? Are you going to expose to the public everything that the law is doing so that you can determine for yourself whether what they're doing is right or wrong? And the answer is that would make it impractical and severely hamper their ability to do law enforcement. But I did. There was a part of me that was super excited to find a four-term fallacy in the wild, so to speak. Because it's one we teach and nobody ever does it. Nobody ever actually, they do it more often than you think. All right, 7:23 on News Radio 92.3. Forgive an old college professor for getting excited about something so silly. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you believe the destination is the journey, you'll love exploring the all-new 2026 Subaru models. Like the all-new 2026 Subaru Outback, strikingly redesigned with sharp lines and more edge, and now with financing as low as 1.9% for 48 months. Or how about the roomy Subaru Crosstrek or the family-sized Ascent? Finance either one for 2.9% for an amazing 75 months. And the long-lasting and capable Subaru Forester. Drive one home for only 1.9% financing for 75 months. All come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take on every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Crosstrek Ascent and Forester. Love is out there. Find it in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791 or online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Here's today's strength for life.
Winning at life is a scriptural concept. Run that you may obtain speaks of winning. Run in such a way that you avoid being a castaway. We should run like Paul, not Demas. Paul fought a good fight, finished his course, and kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for him a crown of righteousness. However, Demas forsook his friend and his faith, having loved this present world. Paul was a winner, but Demas was a castaway. So what's the key to winning at life? The Bible says it's temperance, self-control. It's not asceticism, religious self-effort, but it is spirit-enabled self-control. Temperance is a fruit of the spirit. It's allowing your position in Christ to determine your pursuits. So avoid being a castaway by biblically regulating each area of your life, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, verbally. Control yourself for God's glory. Spirit-filled self-control is the key to winning at life.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Tickets for the 3rd Annual Night at the Museum Gala are on sale now for Friday night, May 8th, featuring special guest speaker, Vice Admiral Jeffrey Caesar Cherico. Table sponsorships are $1,400 all in, and individual tickets are $175, but you can save 20% at checkout with the promo code EARLYBIRD. Get tickets and all things Pensacola Navy Days at PensacolaNavyDays.org. Spend an evening of fine dining under the planes and support Pensacola Navy Days. That's PensacolaNavyDays.org.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, check this out. Why don't you let me get a sip for 15 cents?
My cups cost more than 15 cents.
All right, pour it in my hand for a dime.
You got change for 100. 726 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I know I was a super nerd in the last segment. Just forgive me. I mean, I've been doing philosophy for like 37 years, and I never found a four-term fallacy in the wild, so I was going to take a minute. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
37 years?
Well, you know, college.
Yeah.
Went in at 18, so, you know, it's 30.
Congratulations,
a long
I guess.
Time, yeah.
All right. Highway 29 going southbound toward 10 Mile and also through 9 Mile Road. Seeing some major slowdowns there and expect about a 15-minute delay. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing those construction delays. And also I-10 eastbound exit to Davis Highway. It is still closed. There's a sheriff deputy blocking that exit right there. So just be aware of that.
Yay.
And plan accordingly. John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
How would you solve that if you get to this place and you haven't gotten off already? I mean,
you have to go down the scenic.
Yeah. That's the next exit because there's no exit at 9th Avenue.
Correct.
Or if you go west and do the same. I mean, 29? Good note. Good note. 727 on News Radio 92.3. If you need to, plus if you drive through that area and your car vibrates all of a sudden, that's the equipment. That's not your car.
It's actually the subs in the back of my car.
Yeah. Nice.
Well go done. Around telling everybody
you
that.
You got Baby Shark blaring back there.
I know.
All right. So if you need to get work done on the electrical, the plumbing, the air conditioning, the heating, any of the complex systems inside your house, you want a generator installed or worked on, Peden can take care of that for you. They've been doing this ever since 1969. Robert Peden started his business, Panama City, with air conditioning. Makes sense. In the summer in Florida, why not? But expanded over time, geographically and in product line. So eventually it's all of those things. And then everywhere from Tallahassee all the way to Pensacola for many years. And now just recently into Baldwin County, into Mobile. So all along the Gulf Coast, good people, good products, 100% satisfaction on your installations. They will take care of you. And this spring, get 2 years of smart care for free with your new air conditioning system purchase from Peden. That's scheduled maintenance, priority service, and 15% off all your repairs. All included, call or book online or just ask your questions at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. At least one home has been destroyed after parts of Wisconsin got hit with tornadoes and softball-sized hail yesterday. State officials say a twister tore through Juneau County last night, knocked down power lines and flattened at least one home. A Nebraska child stabbed by a woman in a Walmart parking lot is now recovering after undergoing surgery. Omaha police say a 3-year-old boy in a shopping cart was abducted inside a Walmart on Tuesday by a woman brandishing a knife. Police say officers shot that woman after she cut the boy.
Ugh.
And how about end this on a lighter note and a local story that I'd like to get your reaction to.
Okay, here goes.
So I know how much...
Is it going to be the Culver story? Because you never gave me a chance to react to that one the other day, and I was kind of sad about that.
Well, I'm sorry about that. But no, this is a different one, but I think you're going to like it.
All right.
All right, so this is coming out of Milton yesterday. I know how much you love April Fool's Day.
So I do. I really do.
Apparently, April Fool's Day created some unexpected work for Milton's police chief, Jennifer Frank.
Oh, no.
There was an outside organization, I believe it was Offensive, that posted an April Fool's joke saying that the Milton Police Department had purchased an invisible police car.
Oh, I remember the story on Offensive. Yeah.
Yeah. So residents apparently took that pretty seriously and started calling and leaving a lot of voicemails. And Chief Frank addressed the city council last night.
Several other members of our department received phone calls, emails, messages. So it gained lots of traction.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I didn't see any of this on
I didn't either.
I should have given you the background. There's an organization that played an April Fool's joke. They said that in full transparency that the chief had purchased an invisible cruiser, kind of like Wonder Woman with her jet, and was out there stopping vehicles and stopping cars, and it was a...
And I think we're running up against the time, but it was a funny segment.
I remember that story. That's funny.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump says the Iran war is very close to being over.
I had to divert, because if I didn't do that, right now you would have Iran with a nuclear weapon. And if they had a nuclear weapon, you would be calling everybody over there, sir. And you don't want to do that.
The president on Mornings with Marie on Fox Business on why he started the war with Iran.
He says the conflict is close to finish, but the mission not yet complete. Now, reports do indicate talks between the United States and Iran could resume as early as tomorrow.
Fox's Trey Yanks, the fifth claim of sexual misconduct against former California Congressman Eric Swalwell, who's denying all the allegations against him. Today is the tax day deadline.
10% more Americans getting refunds.
That's IRS CEO Frank Bisignano. Talking to Fox. Americans are benefiting from the Trump administration policies. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 63 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies here today, and we're going to get a look at our full forecast in just a few minutes. First, our local headlines. A Pensacola law firm has filed what is possibly the first underage gambling complaint against Stake.com, which is the world's largest online casino platform. The client, they say, started gambling as a teenager after seeing celebrity ads, bypassed age restrictions with the aid of an app, and then eventually dropped out of college after gambling away his tuition money. Well, Mobile County has a new star, Alexia J., has won season 29 of NBC's The Voice. She performed Sunday morning alongside her coach Adam Levine of Maroon 5 during last night's season finale for that program. A suspect is in custody after a man was shot in Bay Minette Monday. Police say they responded to a property where they found a victim with a gunshot wound. He was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Police are calling it an isolated incident. They say there's no ongoing threat to the community. An investigation continues into that incident. Pensacola Sports has announced its third quarter grant awards for the 2025-26 fiscal year, funding a mix of sports tourism events and community youth programs across Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Tourism grants this quarter go to USSSA spring and summer events, the Golden Elite Track and Field AAU Junior Olympic Regional Qualifier, Five Flag Speedway's Blizzard Series, and Pine Forest High School's FHSAA Region 1 Track and Field Meet. Community grants will be supporting First Tee Gulf Coast Skills Challenge and Divot Derby, as well as the third annual Justin Gatlin Freshman and Sophomore Invitational. More information on all of that is available at PensacolaSports.org. Senator Rick Scott believes Democrats don't care about your safety. At least that's what the senator said yesterday when he appeared on Newsmax. He criticized Democrats for not doing enough to stop illegal immigration. Scott mentioned a recent case where a woman was killed by an immigrant who hit her with a hammer, and he said that Democrats want open borders. Well, more than 120 miles of State Road 80 from Palm Beach County to Lee County is being renamed President Donald J. Trump Highway. That goes into effect on July 1st. Governor DeSantis signed the bill on Tuesday. Palm Beach County Representative Meg Weinberger sponsored that measure. Hillsborough County and the city of Tampa are planning to contribute more than $900 million to a new Tampa Bay Rays stadium using a half-cent sales tax. The county plans to contribute over $700 million, the city more than $220 million. The county commission is discussing that project tomorrow at a work session. Organizations that are interested in applying for Visit Pensacola event marketing grants will have to attend one of several upcoming workshops. The first one's being held April 21st, that is next Monday, at the Bowden Building on Church Street. Additional sessions are being held April 23rd, April 29th, and then on May 1st. The grant application deadline is June 4th. You can contact Visit Pensacola for more information on that. And the Ice Flyers wrapping up a great season. Time to celebrate. News Radio's Chris Bryan.
The 2025-2026 Ice Flyers season is over. Now's the time to celebrate an amazing time on the ice. Tonight, 6:30, fans will gather in the Bay Center for one last farewell gathering. Pensacola had a great year, setting a new franchise attendance record for the fourth consecutive season. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thanks, Chris. 7:35, and now let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, experiencing about a 9-minute delay. Also, I-10 eastbound at the Davis Highway exit is closed still. They're doing some repaving on the off-ramp, so just be aware of that. And 9 Mile going southbound toward Highway 29 going southbound toward 9 Mile is seeing about a 12-minute delay. And Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thank you very much, John. Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have sunny skies today with a high near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 79. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Keeping the sunshine around on Friday with a high near 80 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Sunshine on Saturday with a high near 80. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
63 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. And breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Do you think you pay too much in taxes? You are not alone. A new Fox News poll says that roughly 7 in 10 U.S. registered voters say the taxes they pay are too high. Morgan Stanley posted results that topped analyst estimates as the firm's trading operations generated $1 billion more in revenue than expected. Revenue came in at nearly $20.6 billion versus the $19.7 billion that was expected. Shares in French luxury group Hermès fell 14% this morning after it said the Iran war hit sales in the Middle East, as well as Europe, with fewer tourists visiting Paris or London and buying designer items. Investors' hopes for luxury demand to recover this year have been dashed by the Iran war. Futures have slightly risen as the focus remains on the Middle East conflict. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 317, the NASDAQ up 455, the S&P 500 up 81. Once again, futures are slightly higher this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, it's another gallery night in downtown Pensacola from 5 till 10. This month, it's a celebration of Navy Days. See gallerynightpensacola.org for more. Enjoy Florida Lighthouse Day at the Pensacola Lighthouse Saturday from 10 till 3. The free event includes games, activities, and fun for the family. Presented by Florida Arts and Culture. See pensacolalighthouse.org. Submit at your events at newsradio923.com.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
We did see, and then multifamily had reached somewhat saturation, so you want to be a little bit careful there because you also don't want your existing units to stay vacant. So in that sense, yes, we saw that retail would do well in this area.
Now, this was a side note mentioned by Sana Dabadoy, who was the person presenting for WT, I think is the name of the company, for the Bay Center proposal. There's going to be the big meeting between the city and the county tomorrow on this, but that caught my attention because I wanted to find out more whether that's the case. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Rees, and this segment is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, and tell me, is she right? Was this just around the Bay Center, or was this citywide? Do we have enough multifamily or apartment housing now? Because that's the story has been that we don't have enough affordable housing. What's the deal?
Yeah. So, glad to be here, of course. And look, I think from a multifamily perspective, you have to understand, you know, we're a city of 55,000, and it all depends on what you analyze. And there's a lot of analysis before developers spend $50 million or more, depending on multifamily, right? What's the demand? If you were to start a small business, you're going to start a small business selling something. You're going to probably want to be selling something that has some level of demand that isn't saturated within the market.
Right.
So at this point, of course, with Crest building the 300 units downtown, there's another 300 units that are being planned for next door, as well as the Hard Rock. Remember, there's a multifamily aspect to the Hard Rock at this point. Just right there alone, that you're talking about 800 ish units, and that's multiple bedrooms as well. So when you think about a city of 55,000, I mean, what's coming online in the next 24 months, just on the market rate side, this doesn't count anything at Baptist. This doesn't count anything, affordability that, so it's great news that you're adding that much inventory, and just go look again at Austin, Texas right now, and look at what happened with their rents when they started to build even more market rate units coming in, is that it's the natural case of supply and demand. So, if there are more units available, then that's going to help control pricing. And so that's why you always hear me say we need housing at every level, from affordable, attainable, homeless, transitional, all the way to market rate, because that starts to help control rent costs. So, at First City, 55,000, and we've got, 1,500 bedrooms going online. That's a pretty sizable chunk when you compare us to our city population.
Yeah, I mean, that's 3%, and that's counting households, not people. I mean, yeah, no, for sure. So are we, because I had noticed this, that some of the rental rates seem to have come down, some of the asking price on some of certain houses, that were built for, this kind of market level seem to have declined a little bit. Some of the ambitious prices, I thought, for some of the, like the Horton neighborhoods and stuff like that has changed a little bit. So mm-hmm. have we turned a corner, in your opinion? Are we about to, on the affordability issue?
Well, what I can always use as kind of a high watermark, so to speak, is that I remember looking at a study from a New York-based company in 2018 that said we could actually take 1,600 units downtown tomorrow and the demand would be there. Well, we've come a long way when we start to have other outside objective analysis saying, hey, the market is starting to be saturated. I look at that as a good thing.
Yeah,
It means, one, people want to invest in our city, and two, Andrew, I've said ad nauseum, you got to have inventory at every level. Supply is the biggest controller of rent cost is supply.
Right.
So if we can get supply, and that's why we do shotgun approaches. That's why we do Motor Lodge and Baptist and Community Land Trust and Malcolm Young. It's the reason you attack it this way, because if you're going to sit around and wait on one project to solve your problem, you're going to be waiting too long
right.
For it to have any impact. So So I'm glad that people want to invest here. I'm glad that we're getting more units online that will help control rent costs for everybody.
As I have been telling people, the meeting last Thursday, you were not at the meeting because you were traveling to L.A. for, you know, the American Idol stuff, among other, or maybe you were doing other things, but you weren't at the meeting anyway. Yeah. A lot of stuff came up in that meeting I want to get to. But before that, trip to L.A., watching Keila Richardson advance, being at American Idol, a little bit of fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. Certainly very grateful for the Richardson family to invite us out. And it was an incredible experience. And, you know, as I just wrote on social media this morning, it's, you know, you never feel so close to a community, even being 2,000 miles away, when you see everybody, the graffiti bridge get painted and all of that support. And it was cool to be there seeing all that, because I think this is the most, obviously, as she gets further in the competition, this is the most support she's gotten. And just seeing, you know, we talked to her that day, and she's like, yeah, you know, I was on 2 hours sleep, and seeing all of that, you know, positivity coming from the city really helped energize me. And, aww, you know, she really meant that. And
that's
so
great.
So, you know, the point is, coming back to Pensacola and supporting her, not only with votes, but with well wishes, and getting to bring her all those cards and the poster from ARC Gateway and all of that. We put a photo up of her getting all that stuff. So anyway, it was an awesome experience, and such an easy family and person to root for.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see what happens. I have the inside scoop of the next song. You know, I got that too, but I'm not going to get in trouble with American Idol. So
I got you. That makes John over is like, oh, you know, I one time heard somebody say something about going to a baseball game. He said, when I go to a baseball game, I'm not going just to watch the outcome. I'm going to influence it. And I think that's a good way for us to think about right. this too, is, you know, we can have the possibility of cheering her on and making her feel loved and talking about her and, you know, rooting her on, because, you know, maybe that helps. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Hang on for just a second, Mayor. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Can we get a hint?
I think he's not going to say.
Okay.
He's going to protect her and the show and all the things that they have to sign.
I tried. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 is seeing about a 9-minute delay in that area. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, about a 12-minute delay. And there's still I-10 eastbound as you try to get off on the Davis Highway exit. It is still closed right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
I'm sure somebody's like, well, how would you influence the outcome of a baseball game? Heckling, jeering, cheering, participating. I mean, you know, if you're in the audience, you have a chance to influence the outcome. All right, back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, a couple of things. First of all, the meeting about the Bay Center tomorrow with the county, were you able to secure a ticket? Did you have to pay extra, or are you going to actually be a part of it, contrary to what Charles Bear wanted?
Yeah, I know. I heard I was getting disinvited. I didn't, it was first I heard of it. Like many things from our District 2 council, I learn about them in a meeting that you hear, that Andrew McKay hears the same time that we ever hear. So that's normally how this goes, you know, is that we've been, and then it's presented as if, you know, there's all this information given to us and we're defiant. And, but no, typically you hear your information from that district right about the same time I do. So, so we'll see, you know, if they pull, I don't know if it'll have a whoopee cushion on the chair or they'll pull it out or from under me, but, I still plan on being there. And really the goal should be, what I look at as the administration's goal is actually just trying to be the engine that collaboratively moves this forward. And I would think specifically with this council member, probably need some help in that category, considering the fact that, you know, probably starting off this conversation by saying, well, the county's going to do what they want to do. One, isn't fair to the county commission. And two is fine. If you can vote on anything that you'd like. My goal is I work on behalf of the citizens and the taxpayers here to move this city forward. And if I have a way to help do that collaboratively, then I think that's an important role and certainly one that I'm willing to take to try to get this thing done.
Yeah, it was a weird collage of takes, you know, how you shouldn't be involved. And I don't know why we're having this meeting and they aren't very productive and the county's going to do what it wants anyway. I mean, it's like, oh, okay, just stay home then. Maybe you'll be there without a nameplate or sitting on the short chair or something. We'll see. Do you have a take?
Perhaps.
Between we seem to have a little bit of an internal power struggle in the community right now. Obviously the report seemed to indicate convention center oriented facility. Then you have the DMO, the hoteliers have now come out basically and said, we want to see an activity sports related facility. There's some overlap between those two, but they are not the same. Do you have a preference? Do you want to, you may not want to say it yet, but you know how, because those are not the same thing. We kind of got to pick, right?
Yeah, I mean, now that we've got two reports back, I would say so far, to me, unique to geography and location of downtown, obviously, a convention center in my mind makes sense. Maybe I'll answer it inversely. I would say it would, if we were to miss out, I think missing out on having a convention center downtown versus some type of sports-based facility, which can unique is not any unique need to be downtown the way a convention center would be geographically. It doesn't mean that the validity of it existing, it goes away. But I just think that there's a unique need for specific to downtown. That all being said, and you know, this is why we're having these meetings. I mean, I think it's a good conversation, and is what I've said in meetings and press conferences is there a happy medium that doesn't undercut the value of either use? In other words, it's 2026. Can we build a facility that can put on a proud convention that looks good and operates well and all that, and then still have some limited capability to use it for other purposes? In other words, being able to take walls down and be able to put in volleyball courts, things like that. Do centers like that exist? And WT has really indicated that they do. So I'm looking forward to that part of it, and maybe that's where we have to dig deep and say, all right, well, great, let's look at three or four options. I've been saying that for a while. I'll get on a plane and fly to one. Let's look at how it operates and if it's something that we can all get behind. So I wouldn't eliminate it. We're at some fork in the road right now this early in the game. I think let's see what these facilities can do, and perhaps everybody can, we can come up with an amicable solution that serves dual purposes.
Maybe we don't get a 10 on either, but if we get an 8 on one and a 4 on the other, we're still well ahead of where we are, and we can benefit from that. That makes sense to me.
Correct.
God, so much I want to talk. The $1 million bathroom, do you want to address this? And the ability for council to see budgetary movements within your budget that they apparently gave up the ability to do, and started getting that kind of feedback. This is Jen Brer's concern.
Yeah. So first of all, let's talk about transparency. I would put up our transparency against any strong mayor administration exponentially of the availability of information. I can't name one time where something was requested from any of the seven council members that we refused to provide ever. And nor would that be our standard. This is a governing body elected by the people of Pensacola the same way I was, and we will always provide information. So any presumption, salacious presumption that we're withholding information is absolute nonsense. As a matter of fact, when the council staff used to work for the administration in finance with Dick Barker, they were giving a fraction of this level of transparency and financial information willingly over to the council, and decided to make those more combative issues. We do not do that. So I just want to say that. And what's actually being referred to is there's multi-year, multi-million-dollar software that we're installing because our finance software had sunset. So we already know that our finance team and the council's finance team are working diligently to get whatever information that they need. So again, it sounds salacious, but it's not rooted in any fact whatsoever.
What about the $1 million bathrooms?
Any information?
Though? What about the
and the $1 million bathrooms are actually $673,000. We're certainly proud of taking what was going to be more than $1 million and figuring out, kind of like the Portland Loos, figuring out a way to provide bathrooms at Roger Scott finally that have been generation in the making that had need to be replaced, and be able to do it for about 35% or 40% cheaper. So again, all it requires in both counts is just picking up the phone. You don't have to say, you know, something that is salacious in a public meeting as if to present the idea the administration's unwilling to share that information. That's absolutely ridiculous. And they all know that. So we're happy to provide any information that they ask for anytime.
Man, I really want to talk about the small scale affordable housing rental development pilot program. Can you give me the 30-second on this? Because I think this sounds really interesting, but it's something that even when I was listening to the conversation, I did not understand. And I want to understand because it sounds really good.
Yeah. So the two sentence version is that we had a gap between, we had some programs to help single houses, and we have incentive programs like EDATE, like type programs that were for large scale multifamily development. But for those properties that were two units, three units, adding a garage apartment, to take something, you know, that might be two, three, four, five units, and again, be able to try to attack at scale There really wasn't any type of incentive program. So that's what this is. So if you think about the old church that John Ellis owned on A Street, this predates me as mayor. And you know, here's a building that they're trying to turn into four, five, six small units that are more affordable. Then we do something like that. So that's what the program's for.
Okay. So that's finding a way for the city to help incentivize those small developments that, you know, when you add up a bunch of small ones, you get a big one. So, no, that makes perfect sense. Thank you for explaining that. And I love this project. It makes sense. All right. We always do the lightning round at the end, time allowing, and time does allow today. Your house is on fire. Sorry about that. But hypothetically, and you've got, you know, the people, the pets, and the sort of valuables and whatnot, and don't say your computer. Tell me the one interesting prized possession that you're going to rescue out of that house.
Oh, man. I would say probably Caroline's memory box, I would say, would be my number one. I can replace everything else. I can't make her repaint something from kindergarten. So,
no, I understand that.
Yeah, I would say that would probably be my number one.
Do you have any weird OCD habits? The one I used for me is I like to double click on my fob and not just see the lights flash on the car that it's locked, but hear the horn or the little bleep, bleep, you know, anything like that for you?
Maybe not OCD. I would say the one that everybody likes to comment on is what I'm actually doing right now, which is I'm a walk and talker on the phone. So, you know, I like to say I get my steps in, but I'm not really thinking about that. I'm just, you know, helps your brain fire. And, you know, once every 6 months, someone will send me an article about, you know, how great it is when you walk and talk. I think they're just trying to make me feel good about it.
I do the same thing when I'm teaching, when I'm on the phone. I hate doing radio in the sense that I have to stand right in one place, but I always stand. I do not sit. And you've seen that for your exact reason. Last one is when you're watching a movie and you're 20 minutes in and you're bored, do you quit or do you finish?
I've in my old age, Andrew, I've moved to a quitter on those. I've got too much to do. I'm too busy. I can't be wasting it on subpar movie content. So
what if it's at the theater
back in my less busy years?
What if it's at the theater?
Ooh, I don't think I've ever walked out of the theater. I spent too much to get there. I think I'm on principle at that point, you know.
Yeah. I love that your level.
I got $50 into popcorn and three tickets, you know. So I gotta fight through that.
That's great. I love that your level of impatience has gone up as an older person. I appreciate that, Mayor DC Reeves. Tomorrow night we should have a pretty short city council meeting. Or sorry, next week it should be a pretty short city council meeting. We'll probably talk about that next week. As always, thank you for the time, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Absolutely, thanks for having me, Andrew.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Let's see. Turn that on. I-10 westbound. Let's see here. At exit 5 is backed up past the on-ramp from exit 7. So just be aware of that through that construction zone. And also 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, experiencing about a 15-minute delay in that area. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 20. Between Pine Forest and Highway 29 exit, experienced about a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Daryl Sewing of Pensacola is celebrating serger month the entire month of April. Sergers are versatile and create professional, durable, and clean fabric finishes. Throughout April, Daryl Sewing has special sale prices on Baby Lock and Bernina sergers and accessories. Daryl's is the largest sewing and embroidery machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering lots of fabrics, sewing machine furniture, and much more. Financing is available. Daryl Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess, or at sewinginpensacola.com.
7:59 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a quick headline for us. David?
Israel and Lebanon are holding their first direct talks in more than 40 years. Negotiators from both nations met yesterday in Washington, D.C. at an event hosted by Marco Rubio.
And what did J.D. Vance have to say about the squabbling between the Pope and the President? Very interesting comments from yesterday. We'll get to those coming up next at a TPUSA meeting at the University of Georgia.